You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning and happy Monday, everybody in Broncos country. Hope you guys had an amazing weekend. I know I did. It was a busy, busy weekend. A lot of NFL news from around the gamut. Welcome back, though, for another episode of the show. Very excited to be back with you guys once again. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. I also do some work for the fan-sided networks, predominantlyorange.com. I work alongside a great group of content creators over there. Daily Broncos content over there, predominantlyorange.com. No clickbait articles, none of that misleading stuff, just factual reporting. Appreciate you guys for always tuning in to another episode of the show. On today's episode of Locked On Broncos, we got a lot in store for you guys. A lot of Broncos news, as I said, from around the weekend. We found out the fate of some Broncos players on roster. A lot of prospects from the NFL scouting combine. And I tell you what, we're going to cover the Daily Broncos rundown in segment number one, and then in segments two and three, Cameron and I, we're going to talk about the NFL scouting combine and some of the players that stood out to us. We're also going to talk with some of the Twitter sphere who mentioned if they were the GM, based on the scouting combine and some of the results we saw over the weekend, who would they pick with the pick? And obviously, would you have to trade up for certain guys? I think some guys' value absolutely increase. That's the one thing about the scouting combine that happens every year. A player performs really well, absolutely phenomenal agility, 40-yard dash, strength, whatever else, three-cone drill. We talked about that stuff last week. But players really impress in that feature, and they either their stock rises or falls based on performance. And guess what? We saw some defensive linemen that ran faster than some running backs. And that is pretty spectacular in and of itself. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in to our Daily Broncos rundown. Some interesting news around the NFL this weekend regarding the Broncos. It was noted that Broncos cornerback Brennan Langley will be making the transition from cornerback in defense to wide receiver. The interesting move. I mean, this was kind of something that came out of nowhere. And in my opinion, If Brennan Langley is going to be switching positions, I feel like at this point in his career, year number two, I mean, he's a guy that I had a lot of promise on when the Broncos had first picked him up. He didn't really translate into that in two seasons. Didn't really get a really good opportunity. Really struggled his rookie season getting thrown into the fire. And the moment almost became too big for Brennan Langley. Is that Brennan Langley's fault? No. I mean, when you have to get thrown into the game after Aqib Talib gets ejected, you got to go up against Amari Cooper. That's a tough, tough task for a young rookie guy. But yeah, you know, he's definitely dropped a little bit on there. Injury concerns at some point as well. He was on the practice squad for the Broncos, and then he got promoted to the active roster. Isaac Yiadom got a lot of playing time ahead of him. Brennan Langley still could contribute to the Broncos in a special teams role. But this switch here from cornerback to wide receiver for Brennan Langley, it kind of gives me the vibe that the Broncos will be probably moving on from Brennan Langley this offseason. And that would also be another thing that I think people will look at and say, well, you know, this was another draft pick that didn't work out for the Broncos. I don't know. It's just you never know with players in the NFL. I mean, I had no idea he'd be converting over to wide receiver. That's definitely a surprising thing as well. Some other Broncos-related news. The Broncos will not offer tenders to restricted free agents Matt Lacoste, Casey Kreider, and Jordan Taylor, according to Mike Kliss of 9 News. Now, Matt Lacoste stepped up big for the Broncos in 2018. However, there's going to be a big focus this offseason with that free agency period approaching us just next week. Matt Lacoste going to hit the market. The Broncos are going to be looking to get a veteran tight end or a playmaking tight end. And also, they may look to address that position in the draft. They do have a first-round pick. And, you know, Noah Fant is a guy that impressed Broncos executives at the scouting combine. There's also his team made TJ Hawkinson. You know, Noah Fant ran a really fast 40-yard dash, the top amongst the tight ends at the scouting combine. He ran a 4.5 40-yard dash. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in segments two and three, but there's also Caleb Wilson out of UCLA. There's Josh Oliver out of San Jose State. Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama is another potential option that the Broncos could look to pick up. I mean, this tight end class is pretty deep, so the Broncos do have options there. They want to bring Jeff Heuerman back. They're really focused on getting Jake Butt back back to being 100% healthy. Will that happen? It's really hard coming off of a torn ACL. It's tough. His third ACL, that's going to be a challenge for him in the long run. But there are some other news that I think we should talk about for the Broncos. This is the good news. According to our good friend Troy Rank over there at Denver 7, the Broncos and Chris Harris Jr. have begun talks on a contract extension. From what Troy Rank said, talks went really, really well. They were very productive. Chris Harris's goal is to retire as a Denver Bronco, and it's very exciting. He's going to be a future Ring of Fame member for the Broncos. Very, very big part. You know, we talked about it. We heard from John Elway this past week that Chris Harris Jr. is the number one cornerback on this roster. The big concern is getting a number two corner behind him. Can the Broncos do that? They're going to let Bradley Roby test the free agency market. The Broncos are actively also eyeing the cornerback free agent market list, which they can also make some enticing offers. There are a lot of potential options that they could bring in. It depends on scheme fit. There's Bryce Callahan being a possibility. There's that tie with Coach Fangio that we keep talking about from the Bears' roots. So that it makes Denver a little bit more of an appealing place to be, and you have to get a solidified number two cornerback option. You can't have question marks there. And a lot of teams in the NFL, they don't necessarily have the kind of dynamic where they have one really good cornerback and then everybody else struggles. I think everybody around the NFL has, unless you're a really bad team, they have a number two corner that is pretty darn good, and they really rely on a lot of the number three, number four type cornerback guys as well to fill in the slot, whatever else may be, depending on the defensive situation. But the Broncos have to get better at adding depth to cornerback. That is one of the biggest things. You have Isaac Yadam coming into his second year as a professional athlete. You can't put all that pressure on him solely alongside with possibly risk losing Bradley Roby. The Broncos have to address it. I'm not opposed to them bringing in a veteran option, but we could also take a look at the draft. This year's cornerback draft class is pretty deep. There are a lot of options the Broncos can draw out of some young potential talent to further develop alongside Ed Donatell and Coach Fangio's defensive scheme. Ronaldo Hill is the defensive backs coach working with the corners. The Broncos have to do better in this area, though. You can't just let Bradley Roby walk and not have a solution for a number two cornerback. You can obviously keep an eye on Morris Claiborne, Buster Scranton out of New York. They're leaving the Jets. More than likely, there's a strong possibility of that. Morris Claiborne might not be a bad pick. I'm still a big fan of Kareem Jackson from Houston, set to become a free agent, but the Broncos have to address secondary. I'm okay with safety. I think safety is pretty well covered for the Broncos right now. If the Broncos decide to release Darian Stewart, from what I'm being told, is more than likely going to be the possibility as soon as next week hits. We're more than likely going to see the Broncos and Darian Stewart part ways. The Broncos will have to address that strong safety portion a little bit. You have Sua Craven still as an option, Will Parks, but the Broncos may have to look at getting a free agent guy, Adrian Amos, another Chicago tie with Coach Fangio. The Broncos have a big, big task ahead of them in free agency, and it all starts next week, and we're going to have you covered with all the action over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. Coming up in segments 2 and 3, my co-host Cameron Parker and I, we're going to break down the NFL scouting combine for over the weekend. Which prospects stood out the most to us? Which surprised us? Which ones let us down? We have you covered with all that action. But before we jump into all that, I got to remind you guys, go check out Locked On Nuggets with Adam Mattis. Now, the Nuggets, they're undergoing a very, very difficult 2-game losing streak, losing back-to-back games at home, first to the Utah Jazz, and then on Saturday to the New Orleans Pelicans. And there is something wrong with the second group that comes in and their rotation. You want to hear more about some of the problems? A lot of it may be being linked to Isaiah Thomas and him potentially stopping the basketball by dribbling it out. Adam Mattis has you covered on this interesting angle with the Locked On Nuggets podcast. We saw a lot of action over the weekend during the NFL scouting combine, and I figured we'd open it up with segment number 2. We're going to talk about some of the standouts that we saw on the defensive side of the ball. Now, for the Broncos, in terms of us analyzing cornerbacks, cornerbacks are actually running their drills today in the 40-yard dash and other drills as well. So we'll have you updated in tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos with that. But we got to see edge rushers, we got to see defensive linemen, and we got to see linebackers. And I alluded to it earlier. We saw some defensive linemen run faster than we saw some running backs run this past weekend. And to be honest with you, it is quite scary how fast some of these guys got. So, Cam, let's start off with the number one position, I think, that really addresses what the Broncos truly need. That is an athletic, versatile inside linebacker. Now, one of the top targets the Broncos have interest in, a lot of teams have interest in, Devin White out of LSU, ran the fastest 40-yard dash out of all of them with a 4.42 seconds. This goes to show, and he, you know, I think one of the interviews he gave over the weekend, he said, you know, if there's a tight end that's having a lot of success across the middle of the field, then they're going to line Devin White up on him one-on-one. That's kind of what he said teams would do. If he were a guy that had control, he said he is an equalizer for the tight end position. So 4.42 seconds, we've talked about it. We see it on film, his ability to get from sideline to sideline. There are two interesting prospects at inside linebacker I really like, and both of them, their names are Devin. What about the other Devin?
Yeah, you know, Devin Bush, man, he actually had, from what I gathered, he had like a split second, or should we say like a 0.01 lesser time than Devin White.
Yes.
And I mean, if you truly want to think about, say, a guy that, I mean, my guess is he was probably touted as a first round talent anyway, but my guess is, it was, we just didn't know his spot. We didn't know his location. And seeing him put up 21 reps in the bench, and then him putting up the 4-4 that he did, and plus, you know, him jumping out of a gym on a lot of those other exercises, I think that the height probably concerned some teams. But I mean, then again, you're seeing the waves of like Deion Jones and a bunch of other, you know, small linebackers have success in the NFL. So I think that this just only helps Devin Bush's case. And if we're talking about the Broncos, and strictly the Broncos, or should we say locked on those Broncos, then I would say that Devin Bush played himself into maybe the Broncos territory. If they were interested at one point in time, or maybe they weren't interested or what have you. But I would say that he opened, say, the Broncos' eyes today.
He opened a lot of teams' eyes. And one of the things with both Devin White and Devin Bush is we look at team need. Inside linebacker is one of the biggest needs for this team right now, obviously outside of cornerback defensively. But, you know, taking also another look at another positional need, I think you could add depth to is defensive line. And we'll get to those guys here in a second. But with Devin Bush and Devin White, one thing I want to talk about with these kind of, you know, when we analyze 40-yard dash, his speed is great and all, but if you got to hope that you know, a guy like Devin White or Devin Bush could reach his max speed of 4.42 seconds to cover 40 yards, that means that a running back or somebody else is running the other way and they got a trail. So, I mean, ultimately, I think the one thing I want to see with these guys is instinctual performances and drills. You know, I think their pro days are going to be very revealing. Devin White, we know he could be a versatile guy that can man cover tight ends, tailbacks out of the backfield, maybe even some inside wide receivers. Same thing with Devin Bush, but the big question is, can they shed blocks? Can they fill on guard poles and make plays? That's going to be a big thing to take into consideration. But I love this linebacker class as well. I think the Broncos have some good options. But I honestly think after this weekend, Devin White, I think he goes top six. I think he goes top six in this year's draft, which starts next month. And Devin Bush, not too far behind him. There's a lot of defensive players, I think their stock rose over the weekend. So getting into that, let's talk about defensive line. I love this. Anytime you talk about a defensive lineman, a guy that's just absolutely big and can run pretty darn fast, well, first guy I want to talk about is Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson. He ran a 5.05 40-yard dash. This is, you know, for a guy of his size, that's pretty damn good, you know, compared to some of the other defensive linemen we saw. Dexter Lawrence is a big guy and 300 pounds, running 5.05 in a 40-yard dash. I mean, 300 pounds and that kind of speed, that's not really that often. You don't hear something like that commonly. You don't. And he also got injured on his second attempt. He pulled his hamstring, and that's going to be a big thing that I think a lot of people look at. Agents, they're looking at their clients at that point. They're trying to, you know, get through the NFL draft, and he pulls his hamstring. He should be fine, but one of those scary moments that you know, sometimes you see quite often every single year, you see some guy run, pull his hamstring, or, you know, maybe hurt his Achilles.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the other thing too with Dexter Lawrence too is the, I believe, didn't he get suspended from the, so that's the from the national championship game for, was it a sub, like a, we're taking PEDs or something like that?
Some sort of banned substance. And that's A lot of NFL teams asked him that question this weekend. They asked him if that's something they have to worry about, and he said, rest assured. He said, you know, you don't have to worry about that. That was a mistake that I made, and, you know, he gracefully moved on from it.
Right, and I think that's one of the things you certainly want to have transpire as the years and years and what have you progress is, I mean, because we all know that prospects are going to say the right things, but we also know that sometimes stuff like that in particular can end up being addicting in some ways. So you just hope that that doesn't retread and bring itself up. But you talk about the talent of Dexter Lawrence for a guy that, I mean, we even saw it on the tape, for a guy that as massive as he was to be that type of athletic at say 330 or 340. I think he clocked in at 340. Am I right?
Yeah. I believe so, yes, 340
and for
pounds.
For him to run 5 flat is, I mean, equate that obviously to DK Metcalf, who shined obviously and blew away the Twitter world and NFL prospect world and draft Twitter, what have you. That's in essence kind of like this, where you have a guy running 5 flat at 340 pounds, full speed, almost like a bull coming at you as a quarterback. I mean, that is absolutely scary.
It really is. I mean, talk about just a freight train, a guy who has displayed some versatility. Clemson used him a little bit on offense in some occasions too, and he actually, I think, scored a touchdown offensively. But a guy like Dexter Lawrence, he's a big guy that can man the interior in a one technique or a two eye or a zero technique. He could be the type of guy that the Broncos could utilize. I'm very high on Quinnen Williams as well, who also had a great weekend as well as the scouting combine. But another guy I want to talk about is Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. This guy is phenomenal. Him and his counterpart, Chase Winovich, they play different positions, but they played on that defensive line there. Rashawn Gary, a 4.58 40-yard dash. He's very agile. And in my opinion, Rashawn Gary reminds me a little bit more so of Malik Jackson, just how strong he is, his ability to, you know, use his hands at the point of attack. That's something I want to see from him in the NFL. Now, will he go in the top 10? I have no idea. But the other guy we got to talk about, too, is Nick Bosa, the brother of Joey Bosa. They're slightly, I think Nick Bosa had the slight advantage in the 40-yard dash on his brother Joey. But both these Bosa boys, too, they're very, very talented players. I would be surprised if Nick Bosa even makes it to the 5th pick. I think he goes in the first 2 to 3 picks.
And honestly, you want a hot take. I personally have felt, as I've been watching Nick Bosa throughout his career down there at Ohio State, I honestly feel like Nick Bosa is a better player than Joey. I just think that he's more explosive. He's already, in my estimation, a little bit more well-rounded of a pass rusher. He has a lot more, traits and a variety of pass rush moves at his disposal than Joey, I think, coming out. And we already saw that him at the combine, him putting the numbers that he put together, I thought was absolutely incredible, knowing the fact that he sat out a majority of the games last year. And because we always think about, you know, you see players sit out bowl games and what have you. But no, he made the decision to sit out a good portion of the regular season, the remaining regular season games for Ohio State. But he kept himself conditioned. He kept himself in shape. I mean, it was pretty impressive to see the numbers that Nick Bosa put up. So I'm in agreement with you. I think that Nick Bosa really got himself in a very good position. And if you think about it, I mean, if you are, say, the top two teams, top two, three teams, I mean, Arizona might go quarterback, but San Francisco, Jets, maybe Oakland. I mean, come on. I mean, if you had the opportunity to get Nick Bosa on your football team, that'd be something. And can you imagine, Cody, if the Oakland Raiders got Nick Bosa, so now you have Nick and Joey Bosa in the division? That'd be pretty cool.
That would be really cool as well. You know, I think when we talk about defensive line prospects, Nick Bosa, definitely very talented guy. And if we're seeing it more so at the NCAA level, players sitting out because really their financial future lies in the hands of them getting drafted. And Nick Bosa is another example of that. I mean, not wanting to risk getting hurt, I get it. Rashawn Gary, though, got to applaud him. Dexter Lawrence, got to applaud them for playing, you know, every single game that they could, you know, outside of Dexter Lawrence being suspended. Another guy I want to talk about real quick before we get into segment number 3, we talk about the offensive side of the ball. Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State blew people away. Now, listen to this. Montez Sweat is 6'6". He's 260 pounds, and he ran a 4.41 40-yard dash. Now, just listen for a second. We talked about Devin White, very athletic inside linebacker, who ran a 4.42, an edge rusher who's 6'6", 260 pounds, 4.41. That's pretty darn incredible. The Broncos aren't in the market, really, for another pass rusher, unless they wanted to get rid of Jeff Holland and some other guys and maybe bring in Montez Sweat. But, you know, I don't see that really happening. I don't see that being realistic. So we're going to get into the offensive side of the ball coming up here in segment number 3. We're going to take a look at quarterback and wide receiver. And what about Drew Luck? The promising guy that there's a lot of reports, the Broncos looking at him. Did his stock rise or did it fall at the NFL Scouting Combine this weekend? Offensively, I think when we look at positional need for the Broncos, we talk about wide receiver. There's definitely another area of need there to add more depth. We talked about Sunshine Taylor, you know, not going to be receiving another tender. We could probably see the Broncos part ways with River Craycraft as well, but the Broncos all in with Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick in 2019. Still looking to add a veteran wide receiver, a guy with some speed that can help the Broncos offense guide along a little bit better with Joe Flacco. We got to talk about some of these other wide receivers that we saw, and I want to start it off with DK Metcalf, Cam, because he stole the show at the NFL Scouting Combine this week, and not only just because he ran a 4.33 40-yard dash, but he dominated every drill. And the one thing that really stands out to me, a lot of people are talking about, oh, how big he is and all these things that, you know, somebody needs to test him for peds or anything like that. People don't understand, I don't think, the backstory that DK Metcalf has had to endure to get to the NFL Scouting Combine. I mean, a few years ago, think about it. He suffered an injury that, in my opinion, I put into question his playing career, that neck injury he suffered a fracture with. He's big now, and I'm looking at him, and, you know, it's not going to happen, but I kind of watched his performance. I kind of saw how he did overall in the drills, catching the ball as well, locating it, his focus, to be able to track the ball in the air. That was something that really stood out to me as well. But with DK Metcalf, I was saying, screw it. Why not? If he's there, why not get him, put him opposite of Cortland Sutton, and then evolve with a very, very speedy slot receiver? That's probably not going to happen for the Broncos, but guess what? We can dream. If the Broncos had 2 picks, 9 and 10, I'd choose DK Metcalf with one of those.
Yeah, and obviously we all know how speedy Cody Emmanuel Sanders is, and if they did pick him up, if they did pick up Emmanuel Sanders' option, they could move Emmanuel Sanders in the slot if they wanted to. So I think that. And the Broncos, I think, are in that rare case, and a lot of teams are in that rare case, where if DK Metcalf is available later down the line, say at pick 10 for the Broncos, how can you not pass a guy up like that? I mean, a 4.3 in the 40, 4.33, and then 27 bench press reps. He backs up the 40 with another under 40 time in 4.38. He has a 40-inch vertical. His wingspan is 6'9". Let that sink in for a second. His wingspan is 6'9". Calvin Johnson's wingspan, Cody, was 6'10". I mean, we at all are saying that DK Metcalf's going to be the next Megatron, but I mean, if you look at it just from the sheer physical stature that's there, and he's we said it often, we did say as a passing comment with DK Metcalf, if he's running at you and you're a defensive back, good luck. I mean, he's just a running, like how Daniel Jeremiah put it, he's a human Batman. I mean, he's absolutely thick. He's just strong, and he's going to win every single ball.
He's definitely, they showed a comparison of him and Julio Jones, and he's much, much bigger than Julio. And, you know, it was kind of scary. I kind of tweeted that out. You know, why? If you ever made him mad, it would definitely suck for you if you had to be able to run away from him. You're not going to get that far. So DK Metcalf, absolutely blew it away. Some other guys that stood out. Andy Isabella from UMass ran a 4.31. Speedy guy as well. Paris Campbell out of Ohio State University, a burner. The Broncos are looking for a burner, but I highly doubt that they pick a guy at wide receiver in the first round unless they, you know, unless they decided to trade back. You know, unless they decided to trade back, as was rumored last year, if a player that they didn't want to didn't fall into their lap at pick number five, what we saw with Bradley Chubb. The Broncos had intentions to move back with the Buffalo Bills to trade and swap with them. So I think a lot of things could play out in a various different ways. I'm not sure how it's going to play out for the Broncos in the draft. We'll probably find out a little bit more of a game plan as times get closer. But let's take a look at quarterback. And I want to talk about Drew Lock, because Drew Lock is the guy that's being featured. He's being talked about in Denver. He ran a 4.69, and that's pretty good speed for a quarterback. The expectation is you don't want to have your guy run at 4.69. I mean, it's cool. He's got that dynamic ability, but you want your quarterback to throw the football. And another guy along those lines, I think Drew Lock, I thought he did pretty decent. Now, I saw a lot of people looking at how he threw the ball. I thought he threw the ball pretty well in his drills, throwing routes. His out route, I loved his out route. His out route was especially crisp. I think he's got the ability to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. However, as we saw in his throwing drills, still the concern is a lot on footwork.
A lot of it is footwork, and but the one thing that I think the one thing that we can also put with Drew Lock is swagger, which is one thing that we, as I think, you know, those people that have been wanting to follow the Denver Broncos, that's one of the things that we've been wanting as far as a quarterback goes. Now, we had, say, swagger with Paxton Lynch, but then he wouldn't put in the work. He wouldn't just put in the work. But a guy like a Drew Lock, I mean, he carries himself with a swagger, but also this humbleness about him, to where he truly is team first. And I absolutely appreciated how confident he is pushing a ball downfield. And if you think about, say, a guy that is, if the Broncos were willing and able to take a flyer on a first-round quarterback, they've done a lot of homework on, and take him at number 10 and sit him and maybe go off of the Kansas City Chiefs model, Drew Lock is 100% that guy that can learn under Joe Flacco. He can learn, say, the footwork of Joe Flacco and learn the system and be ingrained in the system like a sponge with Rick Scangarello. Drew Lock is the ultimate guy to push the ball down the field and use every blade of grass, as they say.
And that's my only thing. You know, if we heard from Coach Fangio saying best player available, if at pick 10, if Drew Lock is available, which there has been some rumblings that he may not be available in the top 10. There are some teams that will be interested in Drew Lock. He is considered to be one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback prospect in this year's draft. He's got the intangibles, but still has some of those things he has to improve on. The Broncos have to do a lot of research, and they have to make sure if the Drew Lock is truly the guy for the Broncos in the future, and if they're not sold on waiting for the 2020 NFL draft, they have to take him. They have to take him. They have to develop him under Rich Scangarello, which I think is a great system for Drew Lock to be in. There are some other quarterback prospects, you know, Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn, you know, another guy that had a meeting with the Broncos. I think they, you know, there's some interest there. I like him, honestly. I like Stidham's game. There are some inconsistencies there, especially being with Auburn. I didn't think they had a great, really supporting cast around him at tight end or wide receiver for that matter. So I think, you know, a lot of things we saw with him on film, we can't really use that as a complete, you know, decree to say, well, you know, this guy's going to be a, you know, he's not going to be picked by the Broncos. I think he could be in play for the Broncos in the third round. I really honestly believe that. So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. We're going to be talking NFL scouting combine, NFL free agencies approaching us next week. We're going to be talking about all this craziness for the entire week over here at Locked On Broncos. We're going to have you covered every single day, Monday through Friday. Fan Friday coming up as well. We're going to announce our Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. We're going to be posting the image tomorrow on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos, at Cam Parker PO. We're going to be talking about that and posting the photo. You have a chance to win a Broncos shirt for being an avid listener of the show, but we couldn't have done it without you guys. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning with another episode of the show.